The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Commentary from the Edge. I'm your host, Elbert Lewis. Today, my rant is entitled Responsibility Taxes. Like most conservatives, I was kind of disappointed in the Supreme Court ruling on Obamacare. Now, let me rephrase that. I was shocked. And that's because I was almost certain that the Supreme Court would overturn the requirement of Obamacare that people buy insurance, because the government was trying to force us individual citizens to purchase an item or a service from a corporation. And I thought surely it would be overturned. But a conservative justice, in fact, none other than Chief Justice John Roberts, threw us a curve. And he came up with the notion that even though the government can't require us to purchase a good or service, they can penalize us or fine us or tax us if we do not purchase a good or service. Like a lot of conservatives, I was shocked and dismayed. But after thinking about it for a week or so, I'm thinking that John Roberts might be onto something. And if he can apply this line of reason to health insurance, then why can't we apply that same rationale to other facets of life? For instance, our government can't force anyone to stop smoking unless they completely ban cigarettes and tobacco. But that won't happen because there are too many lobbyists paying members of Congress to not only maintain the legality of the product, but they also give tobacco farmers subsidies. So it's never going to happen. But medical science has advanced to the point where if you walk into a doctor's office hacking and wheezing and coughing, they can pretty much determine what's causing your condition. And if they take a lung biopsy and they have to cut through an inch thick layer of tar to get to lung tissue, then they can pretty much conclude beyond a reasonable doubt that your condition is caused by smoking, and smoking a lot. And likewise, many other diseases that are caused by us human beings using something to excess. Cirrhosis of the liver is generally caused by drinking too much alcohol. And so why not, following John Roberts' rationale, why don't we attach a responsibility tax to cigarettes and other tobacco products, alcohol? Let's legalize drugs and attach a responsibility tax to drugs
and any other product or service that, when used to excess or irresponsibly,
causes debilitating illness or injury or some other malady that a human being would ordinarily go to a doctor for treatment and expect his health insurance to cover the cost. Now, you following my reasoning here? Let's take cigarettes as an obvious example. If every pack of cigarettes had a responsibility tax attached to it,
and that money flowed into a national fund that is untouchable, especially by the crooked politicians in Washington,
and when a smoker goes to a doctor and that doctor determines that his illness, whether it be lung cancer, emphysema, or whatever else, cancer of the esophagus or tongue or any other malady associated with smoking, then that doctor or hospital or treatment facility would forward the bill for this patient's treatment not to their regular insurance and drive up the cost for you and me who might live healthier lifestyles, but they would send the bill to this fund, and this patient
who has smoked 3 packs a day for 30 years, abusing their bodies, sucking in those hot gases, you know, 20, 30, 60 times a day, they have already paid for their treatment in the responsibility tax that was charged to them every single time they purchased a pack of cigarettes. Do you see the beauty of this? Let's take alcohol as another example. We could attach a responsibility tax to every can of beer, every fifth of liquor, or every time anybody purchased a glass of wine or a shot of bourbon or whatever, then they've already been charged a responsibility tax, and that tax money would flow into a fund, a national fund, so you could go anywhere in the United States and get treatment for cirrhosis of the liver, deterioration of your brain from the alcohol killing brain cells, or anything else that a doctor could reasonably assume was due to excess consumption of alcohol. And therefore, you don't have to burden the regular insurance companies with your self-induced illness. You see the beauty of the system? That's why I think John Roberts ought to be commended instead of being criticized and vilified so much by the right. Maybe he should be lauded and praised because he's opened up a whole new avenue in this country for dealing with citizens who insist on doing things that are detrimental to their health or their families or society in general. I love it. Now, what makes this approach so appealing is that it could be used for almost anything that we as individuals do that is harmful to us, that we have the freedom to do, although we know that if we continue to do this activity sometime down the road, it's going to cause us some problems. Why not apply this to illegal drugs? Why don't we cancel this war on drugs that is basically a war on users of drugs? Legalize or decriminalize the use of drugs and attach a responsibility tax to any drug that is sold in this country. So if you are using heroin, cocaine, crack, meth, whatever, and it destroys your life, now you're down and out in the gutter, and you finally come around to thinking, oh wow, I'm gonna die if I keep doing this, and you decide to turn your life around. No, you don't become a burden to the rest of us, because through the Responsibility Tax Act, you've already paid for your treatment. You've already paid for your bed in a rehab facility. You've already paid for the shrinks, the doctors, the nurses, or whoever else is going to nurse your sorry butt back to health after you abused yourself for who knows how many years and for whatever reason. Who cares? This way, we take the onus and the responsibility off of society in general, and we place it on the individual. This way, they will have already paid for their stupidity and irresponsible behavior. It's genius. The other day, I was watching the news, and one of the segments was on a women's chain gang. And as you might guess, this chain gang was out of the office of Sheriff Arpaio in Arizona. And I was shocked, number one, that there were still chain gangs, and number two, that it was a female chain gang. And they showed them marching lockstep out from their barracks, tents, they were living in tents, and going out to a location alongside the highway, and they were removing weeds from the highway somewhere. And I thought, wow, what's wrong with this picture? And then after I thought about it, I said, there is nothing whatsoever wrong with this picture. It's right. What is wrong is that the rest of the nation is not following suit. Because what's wrong with making prisoners, convicts, criminals pay for their behavior? And let's go a step beyond that. Not only should they reimburse the state or the county for their criminal activity, but they should pay to compensate their victims. Call it a criminal responsibility tax. In other words, there should be a revolution sweeping this country where we require every criminal to reimburse the state, federal government, county, or any other jurisdiction that has to expend public funds to apprehend, prosecute and incarcerate them. They should have to pay for every cent of that. And if there is a victim in their past, then they should have to compensate that victim. There should be a board that decides how much damage did this idiot do and assign a monetary value and send that knucklehead to a chain gang. And they will know that at whatever rate per hour that is paid for the labor they do, that money is going first to their victims, and they will be there as long as it takes to compensate their victims for the damage that they did to them. And when they are paroled, they will be presented with a bill that covers every cent spent for their incarceration. And if they don't pay it willingly, they're going to wind up back on the chain gang. Think about that. They will know beforehand that if they do the crime, they are going to do the time for however long it takes to compensate their victims. And it's not going to be folding sheets in a prison laundry or serving food up to other prisoners in a chow line. Oh no, it's going to be 12 hours out there in the hot Arizona sun, pulling weeds off the highway or working on a farm somewhere doing the work that illegal immigrants do. It's going to be work. And I guarantee you, we would not have the crime rate that we have if they know that when they get caught, they're going to be worked like a mule for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And when they get out of prison, if they ever get out, an 8-hour day, 5 days a week will seem like paradise. Now, this should also work for white-collar criminals, because I get really, really frustrated when I hear about a white-collar criminal get caught, prosecuted, and sentenced, and they only have to pay back a fraction of what they stole. Now, get this. Somebody might have stole $50 million, but they get fined $10 or $15 million. Why is that? Why don't the government come in and take every single penny, every single property, every single automobile, every single gold watch, everything that they have? If it works under the RICO Act for mobsters, why can't it work for white-collar criminals? I don't get why these people are allowed to keep anything. Let's face it, the average person, if they had the opportunity to work some scheme, make $50 million, and then go to jail for 4 years, pay a $10 million fine, and have $40 million waiting for them after doing 4 years, heck, I think 80% of the people would take a deal. It's almost worth it. Because the prisons they go to are medium security federal prisons, the country club type prisons. So 4 years for $40 million, I don't know. I think I might be able to hack it. If I could spend a couple of years in the Marine Corps, a year of that in Vietnam, I think I could survive 4 years in prison and come out $40 million richer. So let's make the punishment fit the crime with a responsibility tax. And in the case of a white-collar criminal, the responsibility tax is 100% of what you own. And if you have a wife and a family, then that wife has to get out there and find a job. There are plenty of single mothers out there supporting their families. That's the beauty of responsibility taxes. They can be tacked on to almost any activity that we can think of where people do something that is detrimental to them and might make them a burden on society. I can't think of a single argument against it. I'm not naive about this. I know that the hand-wringing liberal enablers out there will have a fit if our government tried to do something like this. But we have to ignore these people, and we have to do what is commonsensical and what is best for our nation as a whole. Now, I can see them really having a fit when we go after the poor, and especially the girls or women who are responsible for perpetuating the underclass. I'm talking about the women who have baby after baby they cannot afford and are not prepared to raise properly. I'm not so cruel-hearted that I would deny nourishment to a hungry child. And so, yes, we have to have aid to dependent children. But this is what I propose as a responsibility tax. We continue welfare as it is presently constituted, with one exception. that the recipient has to name the father. And if need be, a forced paternity test is performed. And if the paternity test confirms who the father is, then that father has to provide child support either willingly or by picking tomatoes somewhere on a farm in a chain gang. No excuses, no exceptions. Willingly or unwillingly, that father will support that child. And if the mother is so loose with her reproductive cycle that she can't name the father of her child, all the benefits that we give to a mother, we keep a running tally of what the government has spent on them for aid to dependent children, housing, and whatever. When that woman is past the childbearing years, when those kids are no longer her responsibility, then that bill will follow her. And when those kids are no longer minors, then she has to pay back in the form of a responsibility tax all the money that the government has given her to help her take care of these kids. Now, ain't none of that stuff about, oh, I don't have an education. I've been raising kids. You can get out there and scrub toilets or do whatever else it takes to earn a living and pay back what you owe to society. And if you don't do it voluntarily, that would be these chain gangs waiting for you. And I don't care if you're 45 or 50 years old by the time you get through raising those kids. If you don't go to work and start paying that money back, then you're behind with land on one of these chain gangs, and you'd be making whatever it is an hour, and you'd be paying the state and the government back for whatever it costs the taxpayers to help you raise your kids. Now, there's one more human behavior that I've really struggled with this responsibility tax, and that is obesity. Because if we follow the model and we tax food, which everybody needs to survive, then we're punishing the normal people, the healthy people. So in this sense, the responsibility tax wouldn't work for obesity. And I've been, struggling to come up with a way of dealing with the obesity problem. Because if we can't tax food, do we have a scale at each checkout line at the grocery store? And if a person weighs over 200 pounds, could there be a tax automatically added or a percentage automatically added to their grocery bill? I don't know. Do you somehow make it the responsibility of a doctor to report when an obese person comes into their office? Should a doctor be required to report to the government or to some other jurisdiction of the state or the city that this person is walking around with enough weight for two or three additional people? How to handle that? I'm really struggling with this because I have a brother that's in that condition. And I still haven't come up with what to me sounds like a logical way to do it. When you think about it, they're already paying a financial penalty. If they are paying for the food they are consuming, then they're already paying 2 to 3 times more to feed themselves than the average person. They're also probably paying more for their clothing because they have to shop at the big girl and the big boy clothing shops, or in extreme cases, they have to go to Omar the tent maker to clothe themselves. So how do we humanely impose a responsibility tax on a obese overeater? Finally, I came to the conclusion that I can't solve all the problems of the world. So I'm leaving it up to the listeners. If you guys have a sensible solution to this, please drop me a line through the email and let's brainstorm a little bit. But I am convinced that with the responsibility taxes, we are on the cutting edge of a societal evolution that will transform America. Until next time, I'm your host, Elbert Lewis, from The Edge.